This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yik, Shamila Gunnison and Kelly Anissa. Today is Teachers Day here in Malaysia, and we've been discussing the origins of this day, why we celebrate it on the 16th of May. And we're also asking you to call in, you know, if you have a special wish that you'd like to dedicate to your teacher. And so we have Nor Alia on the line. Good afternoon, Nor Alia.
Hi, hello BFM.
Hi, do you have something to share?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Happy Teachers Day to my lecturer, Puan Jurita Jaafar.
And what's special about Puan Jurita for you?
Yeah, during my study my final semester, so I asked her, because I wanted to pursue my master, and then I asked her what the advice should I continue my master on, and then she was like looking at me, and then she said, take your time, live your life first, go travel and have a few heartbreaks. And that's the best advice I've ever received.
And did you take her advice?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, thank you so much for calling and for sharing your thoughts with us. And share with us, just like Alia has done, what was the most important lesson that you've learned from your teacher. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900. Now we're going to take a look at a major issue that is affecting teacher training in Malaysia.
So the Director General of Education, Amin Senin, recently acknowledged that there is a shortage of English option teachers in Malaysia. So DG Amin was responding to the National Union of the Teaching Profession, or NUTP, which had asked the ministry to not require potential English language teachers to pass the Malaysian University English Test, or MUET. So this requirement also extends to non-English language option teachers. So before we go further into the story, so for those of you who might not know, option teachers are those who have undergone training to teach particular subjects, so whether that's English or science, while non-option teachers are those who are not trained in that field.
So more generalists in that sense.
Yeah, so I mean, then again, a non-option teacher for English would be like a science teacher.
Right, okay. Right,
who then takes some English classes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So Harry Tan, the NUTP Secretary General, had previously claimed that forcing non-English language teachers, or as what you've explained, Kelly, non-option teachers, forcing them to sit for the MUET exam will not resolve the issue, which is the lack of English language teachers. He added that non-English language teachers, requiring them to sit for an English test would just be adding to their burden.
So DG Amin, DG of Education, actually defended this move to retain the MUET requirement, saying that it was part of the strategy to improve the standard of English among school children. He said that this has actually been in place since 2013 as part of a strategy centered on having quote-unquote quality and quantity of English language teachers.
So let's look back at, you know, what prompted these discussions. Last month in April, the English Language Teaching Centre and the English Language Standards and Quality Council, both of which come under the Education Ministry, had instructed teachers, so even those who are not English option teachers, to sit for the MUET examination.
As for English option teachers who have yet to take any proficiency test, Harry said that they were required to sit for the MUET by December using their own funds. So, you know, these teachers have to pay for the examination fees themselves. And the time frame given to sit for the examination is actually really short. So Harry added that some of these English option teachers actually already have qualifications such as TESOL, which is Teaching English as a Second Language, and TESOL, Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages.
Yes, so the ministry and the teaching profession clearly, you know, have different opinions on how to handle the lack of English language teachers in schools. But, you know, but where do parents stand on the matter? We have that Datin Nor Azima Abdul Rahim, who is the chairman of the Parent Action Group for Education, or PAGE, on the line with us. So what are your thoughts on the matter?
This debacle about whether or not there is a shortage of English teachers, I think it's really by definition, because, you know, as parents, you would expect a an English language teacher to be trained in the English language. But apparently there are non-optionist teachers, that is teachers who are untrained to teach English language, are teaching English language to students. So to the parent, as long as the teacher is proficient and can teach, we have no problems with that. But I think the ministry has to be forthright and say that, admit that if the teachers, if the non-option teachers are not optimal, that measures must be taken to ensure that they are. So I think whatever it is, there must be an attempt to raise every English language teacher's standards to what it should be. As far as I know, there are teachers, trained and untrained English teachers, who have not been screened. So I believe this is a method to assess them as to where they are in the CFR. The MUET seems to be an ideal assessment tool. And also because I believe MUET has now been aligned with the CFR.
So how do you think the standard of English among teachers should be assessed?
Well, as I'm not an educator, but as a parent, I would like to how I would assess my child is if the child comes home and you can see the improvement in, say, writing, reading, spelling, fluency in speaking the language. This is how I would assess a teacher.
In your opinion, do you think the ministry is doing enough to strengthen the proficiency of the language?
I think, of course, now the administration has said that teachers have to sit for MUET. But, as feedback is coming in from teachers, they also mentioned about TESOL. But maybe, I think nothing is cast in stone at this point. And I think there's always room for negotiation, between teachers and the ministry. And I think that if they, obviously they have TESOL, if TESOL can be aligned to CFR, maybe this is one way of avoiding every teacher to be sitting for MUET, which saves costs. And I think teachers and ministry should engage and come to a compromise.
And as a parent, what kind of initiatives would you like to see being taken for this to improve?
Well, I think that the environment must be conducive. Teachers must make the school environment conducive for students and pupils to openly speak in the English language. I also think that teachers also should not be afraid or hesitant to speak in English. And if all teachers were to be bilingual, this will help students be bilingual as well. But I think as far as teachers are concerned, then they themselves need support. It's not just about sitting for TESOL and MUET and being aligned to SFR, but teachers themselves need some kind of a buddy support system to help build confidence. And as long as that support is there, I think our teachers are capable of pushing boundaries and excelling and mastering the English language. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all teachers in Malaysia Happy Teachers Day. Congratulations.
That was Dati Nur Azimah Abdul Rahim, who is the chairman of PAGE, the Parent Action Group for Education.
So Deputy Education Minister Teo Ni Cheng has also weighed in on the issue. She said that the government is also willing to give practical and online training to enhance the mastery of English to produce teachers who have a good command of the English language. YBTO added that the ministry could retrain existing English teachers to improve their language skills. Mm-hmm. I think this points to what seems to have been quite a long-standing issue.
Yes.
And just one of many issues surrounding teacher training in Malaysia. It saddens me that, in our first story, we talked about the importance of teachers in building and molding young people. And yet when it comes to their training, we can't seem to be consistent in the policies and the stand that we take.
Mm. And inevitably, when we talk about training, the problem is that as parents or students, we only see the end result, mm-hmm. the product of what the teacher is able to deliver in the classroom. Mm. But while we can't remove, the responsibility completely from the teachers, mm-hmm. the training is not their responsibility.
Yes.
Right? The training has to come from those above. Mm-hmm. And when they drop the ball or they keep going back and forth on it, mm-hmm. then the end product is teachers who can't deliver what they're meant to deliver.
Yeah, yeah. And are unfortunately then admonished or castigated for being of poor quality.
Yes.
You know? But yeah, mm. they are a product of a system. Mm.
Yeah, and forcing the non-option English language teachers to take the MUET examination or just to teach students the language, I think it's not fair, because when I was in school, I remember you could always tell the difference when you see a teacher just stepping in to teach a subject that they are clearly not familiar with and how uncomfortable they look. And it really is not fair, because then when the results come out and parents tend, you know, they may tend to blame the teacher for that poor quality of lessons that they are getting in class, when in reality that's not what they studied. That was not the field that they wanted to do.
Mm. Right.
So, I'm actually a little... I'm on the fence, because I can see this being... perhaps a stopgap measure in some ways, but it does seem like it is not going to resolve the entire issue, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Because when it's not put in place from an earlier point where comprehensive training is made available,
yep.
just making them take the MUET is not really going to prepare them to teach, English well enough so that students can actually make something of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the standards. So aligning the standards to international standards, as Dati Nora Zima mentioned, there needs to be the will to push that through, I think, rather than having your own benchmark, which, like you say, isn't going to prepare the teachers adequately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think there also needs to be an adjustment of the system, because like Harry Tan said, they have a lot of responsibilities. You are organizing choral speaking classes and all of that.
Their administrative duties, paperwork. Yeah.
And adding this into the mix, I think, we have to take all of that into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And teaching, it strikes me that teaching a language isn't just about delivering the ABCs, mm-hmm. is it?
Yes.
And when I think about the best sort of English teachers I've had, they're about inspiring a sort of love for the language.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes,
and so just to put someone there to deliver those bare minimum, but then not being passionate about it as a subject and understanding what it can do for the student, I feel like misses the point somewhat.
That's absolutely a good point. My memories of learning English were doing choral speaking, like you said, Kelly, participating in debates, discussing books.
Exactly.
And that's where you learn language and you learn to love it rather than being...
Rather than being forced to memorize and read.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. So today is Teachers' Day here in Malaysia, 16th of May, and we've had people calling in to dedicate wishes to their teachers, and we've had a few on social media as well.
So Amy Auzi said that the most important lesson she learned from her teacher is to dream but not make my dreams master, to treat both success and failure just the same.
Wow, that's profound.
Yes. I'm loving all these life lessons that our teachers have been imparting.
Yes.
Yeah, and on WhatsApp, we have someone who wrote in and said, an important lesson my teacher has taught me is no matter how hard life hits you, you get back up again. Mm. Sadly, she passed away due to cancer last month, but from what I've heard, she never gave up despite years of battling the illness and continued to passionately teach her students. I wish I had more time to tell her how much I love her and appreciate her.
That's beautiful.
That's lovely.
Yeah. And another person wrote in on WhatsApp and said, my teachers inspired me to always do my best, and that if I applied what I learned, the world is my oyster.
That's very true. Yep. These are all really, I think, thought-provoking things, values you learn from your teacher that really you can carry through to the rest of your life.
And the fact that people remember them decades after, they've left school really says something about how big an impact they make.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So keep those thoughts coming in. You can still tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or drop us a line on our Facebook page, which is BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of our show today, you can download the podcast at on our website, bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, Shamila Ganesan will be speaking to the first Malaysian architects who will be presenting at the Venice Art Biennale. So that sounds really exciting. Mm-hmm. But first, here's Palmer Violet with English Tongue right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.